the honor to introduce Susanna Zeitz, who is a doctoral student in Health Behavior Department at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and a pre-doctoral trainee at the Carolina Population Center. Her research is primarily on sexual and reproductive health and gender-based violence in South Asia, with a focus on adolescent sexual and reproductive health and the engagement of men and boys to promote gender equality. So, Susanna. Good. Give her a big hand.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'll be speaking on a qualitative study from the International Center for Research on Women on substance use, violence, and sexual risk-taking behaviors among young men in urban slums in India. First and foremost, I'd like to acknowledge the PI of the study, Dr. Madhumita Das, who sends her greetings from Delhi. So India has the third largest number of people estimated living with HIV/AIDS worldwide, and currently the epidemic is concentrated among high-risk populations, including sex workers, injecting drug users, and men who have sex with men. And both sexual and physical IPV are associated with HIV infection globally and as well in India. And the National AIDS Control Program of India has a very specific focus on youth, especially in their phase four and how they relate to these high-risk populations. Unfortunately, their strategies have been largely focused on information, education, and communication campaigns, such as the Red Ribbon Express train, which goes to various cities in India and educates people on HIV. However, above these behavior change campaigns, there's a significant need to understand the structural pathways of risk for HIV among adolescent boys and young men in India, particularly among low-income urban residential communities where there is higher potential risk. So therefore, the aims of the study were to identify the factors influencing risk and vulnerability to HIV infection among young men in urban India and to describe how they perceive these factors that influence their HIV risk. This is Shivaji Nagar, one of the sites for this study, and it's predominantly Muslim with a high number of internal migrants from rural areas. The largest income-generating activity in this community is picking up scraps from the local trash and dumping ground in the area. These focus group discussions for this study were part of formative research from ICRW. There are 105 participants in 10 of focus group discussions, and these participants were recruited from past participants from the Parivartan study, which was a quasi-experimental study that integrated positive deviant role modeling and mentorship on to reduce gender-based violence and change gender norms into a sports-based program where boys and men and young men played cricket. The focus group discussions were held in 6 locations in 2 communities in 2012 and conducted by 2 trained male interviewers from a local partner organization as well as a research assistant from the Mumbai Project Office. And they were conducted in Marathi and translated into both Hindi and English. The interview guide was a multi-topic guide with 3 sections, kind of having an a priori focus on structural determinants of risk. And these topics were drug and alcohol use, violence, and sexuality. And the guide was tested in the community for feasibility and dependability. And some questions include, what are drugs that are regularly done in your area, and what is their effect on the community? What is the reason people do drugs? When men behave violently in the community, what is the reason for that? And what is the relationship between drugs and violence? I conducted the secondary analysis of the transcripts. I developed a codebook using deductive codes from the interview guide based on structural factors and inductive codes on initial and continued examination of the data. I applied the codes using Atlas TI-7 and used memos and matrices to explore the interconnections between the themes. The study used the ecological framework of risk, focusing on structural factors, including social norms supportive of substance use, sexual risk-taking and entitlement, and norms of masculinity and violence. The common drugs that were mentioned being used in the community included, first and foremost, what they called button, which are actually quaaludes and other pharmaceuticals. Additionally, boys as young as 10 sniffed chemicals, mainly whiteout, that they obtained from local businesses. And there was some mention of heavier drugs such as cocaine and heroin as well among the older population. There was a wide availability of drugs, especially of pharmaceuticals. One participant said, you won't get it without doctor's prescription, but you can still get it illegally. Common reasons for alcohol and drug use included lack of employment, tensions in one's personal relationships, and peer or parent use of drugs and alcohol. One participant said, boys don't have jobs, just roam here and there and take drugs, and after drugs, crime starts. Perceived effects of drug use included addiction, losing consciousness, abusive language, becoming seen as weak, weight gain, crime, tension within the family, and within romantic relationships. Additionally, violence was often mentioned as an effect of drug use. This included intrapartner violence, intimate partner violence, interpersonal violence between boys and young men, harassment of girls, and non-partner rape. A participant said, when he was on drugs, I was not able to recognize anyone whom I have hit that day. My mother also gave me a slap, but it felt like some mosquito has bitten and gone. In terms of sexual risk-taking, numerous geographic locations within the community were mentioned both in terms of transactional and non-transactional sex. This included brothels in nearby neighborhoods, the local garbage dumps, public toilets, trains, public parks, factories, and movie theaters. Drug and alcohol use was not explicitly linked to sexual behavior. However, there are many references to transactional sex among participants. This was mentioned both in the context of female sex workers as well as men who have sex with men. In the case of female sex workers, participants paid money for their services, as it traditionally is. However, in the case of men who have sex with men, participants either had sexual relationships with them without any transaction, or received money, drugs, or goods from men in the community in return for sexual favors. One participant said, those who don't have girlfriends go there and take drugs, go there to the men who have sex with men in the community and take drugs and also get money, and they also get to eat food, so people go to them and take interest in that. Participants were asked explicitly about their perceived connections between drug use, violence, and sex. Most participants focused on the connection between addiction and violence, not addiction and sex. However, many participants also mentioned the link between violence and sex. And this quote talks about blue films, which is another kind of term there for pornography. This participant said, if anyone is drunk or has had drugs and watched blue films, then that man's mind has all bad thoughts. So while he's walking on the street, he teases ladies or catches them and rapes them. This all happens due to drinks and drugs only. This sample of adolescent boys and young men provided an in-depth examination of the structural drivers of gender inequality and gender roles and alcohol and drug availability and norms. The study highlighted some of the complex dynamics in these areas. For instance, boys in the communities were exposed to drug and alcohol use from a young age due to challenges at the relationship, family, and community levels, as well as structural levels having to do with norms of drug and alcohol use. There are a few limitations of this study. A predominant limitation was that was with translation. It was actually translated into Hindi and then from Hindi into English, and even though I do read Hindi, I conducted the analysis in English, and you tend to lose some of the slang and other terms that young boys use. And since I was not engaged in the process of collecting data, I was limited in my ability to make the process more iterative. There are some implications for further research and programs the study points to. One is research on the association between economic empowerment and risk-taking behaviors. There's limited evidence, especially with economic empowerment among men in India, and whether this affects sexual risk-taking behaviors. Additionally, it's necessary that to understand if there are possible unintended consequences of changing these structural factors of risk. We tend to assume that if you change economic circumstances, then it will increase people's autonomy and they can make kind of positive decisions. But since we've seen a lot with the structural consequences of perhaps economically empowering women, there might be unintended consequences as well among men, such as increasing their economic empowerment, so that economic resources, so then they might engage in more transactional sex. In addition, with the growth of slum communities due to migration from villages, there's a need for substantial investment in addressing social norms on substance use, gender, and sexuality, and also in providing livelihoods programs and other skills-based strategies to increase the economic empowerment of boys and young men in India. I would like to thank the young men and boys who participated in this research, the data collection team in the community, as well as the Nike Foundation and UKAID for providing financial support for this study. Thank you very much.